And when I got this shirt, I mean, it really, it spoke to me dearly. I mean, it's like, it's my motto. This is like, wow, it's like incredible. Saved to serve. I am saved to serve. And what a privilege it was and is to serve God in any capacity, whether it's here at home or in Manila. And let me tell you, I went with an incredible team picked out by God, totally handpicked. Couldn't have been a better team, and what a gracious team and funny team. I had the Three Stooges. I won't tell you who they were, but they were awesome, all of them. And they all played their part while we were there. And it ran smoothly, I think. And thank you for your prayers and your support, because that was a tremendous blessing. We could feel it all the way. You gave us the hot air and a 95-degree humidity, so we appreciate that. We were sweating up a storm, but it was okay. It was wonderful. The people there are just awesome. I mean, you guys are awesome. Hawaii's awesome, but they are way awesome. I mean, just because they have nothing. And when you have nothing, you can be totally awesome. You can give it all up. And that really, when I watched that and saw that, it spoke to my heart. It just spoke to me as an individual to get rid of stuff, you know? Get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the noise. Get rid of the technology. And just be with the Lord. And you can be amazed at how much you can do, because I saw it in 2 weeks. And I'm ready and willing to give more of myself. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I have been praying for as a missionary person, and just praying that the Lord will use me graciously as His servant. So I hope and pray that I can be more humble and more gracious for his purpose. And Isaiah 6:8, this is the one of the verses on a shirt here. It says, here it is. I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And that's exactly the motto of my life, is here I am, send me. The people there are gracious. I've learned a lot from them. I learned a lot from my team that went with us. And I'm continuing to learn from the Lord on how He wants me to present myself as a child of God, as His bride. And I'll never forget that trip. It was an awesome trip. I plan on doing more. I pray the Lord will send me back there again. But I know that one of the places that my heart wants to be led to go is Japan. And so with the Calvary Chapel Fusho. So pray for me on that venture. That'll be coming up pretty soon in a couple of months. So I really am looking forward to going out there, using my feet, using the Word of God, getting the sword and all the armor of God, and just blessing the people as they have blessed me. So thank you very much for this time. And salamat po.
Caroline was working a lot with the kids, and I thank the Lord for her, because of her personality and stuff, the kids just were like a magnet to her, and so she was able to minister to them and taught them daily the things of God. So we were there to help them with their VBS, and so she was a total blessing to the team because she dealt with the children, and I didn't have to. Thank you, Jesus. No, it was a real blessing. You guys might have heard of our trip up to Sing Song. Is that how it's? Saison. I'm no good with these. And so you might have heard of the bus ride. It wasn't a bus. It was a van that was made for little skinny people, not big fat Americans like me. And so we're on this van driving up 7 hours to this village. And so as we're riding up in this van that was made for little people, we're all squished in there. All of us Americans are squished in the back. And we're doing this for 7 hours. We're doing the bobblehead thing all the way up there. And the seat is not complete in one of the seats. And so you don't even have a place where you could lean back and put your head. And so we were suffering for Jesus all the way up on this 7 hour trip to get to this small village. And so as we traveled up there, I watched the team jockey for the best seat. And so we'd stop to go to the restroom, and all of a sudden, wow, how come she's sitting in that seat? That was Mario's seat. And you see Mario going. So it was kind of interesting. And then Justin, who will definitely go to heaven, said, Pastor Joe, would you like my seat?
I said, yes.
Because he had the whole back seat. He was laying down in the back seat. And I was sitting in this little seat, and I'm trying to put my leg out, and it was very uncomfortable. And I said, yeah, I'll take that seat. And so I got in the back there, and we took off again. What I didn't know is that in the very back of the van, all the way for 7 hours. I don't know if it was a blessing or a cursing. But we finally get to this town. We left it at 12 a.m. We get to the town at 7 o'clock in the morning, and we get out of the van, and, you know, they said, okay, let's start. And I'm like, well, where's Starbucks? I got to have coffee in the morning. I need a little bit of coffee or something. And so there was no coffee. So we got started. I got the guitar out. I started singing, you know, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And these people started coming out of this village. You know, this is a village setting. They're coming out of the village, and they're hearing the guitar going. And then they begin to line up, and they're going to have some medical treatment done to them, dentistry. And so they're lining up, and we're singing, and they're given a number. And then when their number was called, they went with two counselors who shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. They didn't go, you know, do you know Jesus? No, it was shared with them clearly so they could understand in their native language, and 17 people gave their hearts to Jesus out of this village. So that was awesome to be a part of that. And, you know, they're doing this dental mission trip, and they're pulling teeth with no anesthesia. And the people aren't screaming, going, we hate you. They're just having their teeth pulled, just, yeah. And I said, I got to get out of here, because I got some bad teeth. I went back out there and went with the children and sang some songs and, you know. So it was really a wonderful medical mission trip that we were able to go to and be a part of with the Harvest up there in Manila. So the 7-hour ride, we finally finish up at around noon, eat lunch and get back on the vans, and we're all, you know, there's 30 people or more that are on this mission thing with us. And so we're driving back, and so the 7-hour trip took us 4 hours to get back because that guy was going 100 miles an hour. He was flying. And that's what I'm talking about. This is a ride from somewhere else. I mean, he's passing on this side of the road and this side of the road at 80 miles an hour, and you're going, I'm going to die. Jeez, I didn't want to die in the Philippines. I'd like to die in my bed at home or something. And so we're all praying. And the whole time while the rest of the team is praying and seeking God with all of our hearts, Mario's asleep. He slept through the whole thing. We all hate him. But it was definitely a marvelous trip. God did all these wonderful things, and so that's the trip. Where's Justin at? Get up here. He had to deal with me for 2 weeks, and it's not over yet.
What's up, guys?
You know, good thing I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
But, yeah, if you have some Snicker bars, giving them Pastor Joe, that's how you deal with him. Sorry, yeah. No, but seriously, the Philippines trip changed my life. I went there and I was like, what am I doing here in a third world country? You know, how is God going to use me? You know, and it's amazing because, you know, like before I shared with you guys, before I left, you know, people look at me, I have tattoos. They're like, man, this punk guy. But you know, that worked to my advantage. Because the people could relate to me, because I guess in the Philippines, they see tattoos, and they're like, that guy's a criminal. And I'm like, you know, I could use that because I used to be a criminal. So I use that to my advantage to evangelize to these people. And, you know, we were in Manila, and man, it's just like she was saying, Caroline was saying, these people love the Lord. And it's not that we don't love the Lord here in America. But it's an undistracted love, you know, because we have stuff that we're so worried about, and they don't, because they don't have nothing. All they have is their Bible. And so the Lord really moved there. You know, Pastor Joe, they were like teaching inductive Bible study, and I kind of went through that with Bob Hayes with, you know, a couple months back. And Pastor Joe's like, man, who's going to teach the outline? And I'm like, I will. You know, I'll teach an outline. I know how to do it. And, you know, I got up and I was like, Lord, what am I going to teach these people? How am I going to teach outline? And he said, you know what, Josh, you have the book in front of you. Teach out of the book. And so I just was teaching the outline, and I taught the outline. And, you know, I'm teaching people that have been saved 10 years more than me, 20 years more than me. And a guy who's been saved for almost going on a year now is teaching these guys an outline. And that's the things that God done. You know, and then we go on the medical mission trip, and, you know, just to see those people, you know, it's like these people have never seen any white people before. And so it's like they're kind of tripping out seeing me and Joe and Caroline and, you know, Mario, he's a local Filipino guy already, but, you know, and Marcia and stuff, and they're like tripping out. So it was good to minister to those people because, you know, they're receptive to it. When you give them a track, they take it. It's not like when you're in Waikiki and you give someone a track, they crumble it up and throw it to the side. Oh, I know Jesus. No, these people will actually take it and they'll read it. And they'll look and they'll read it and they'll look and they'll ask you questions, which is a great thing. You know, and then we got to Rick and Aceli's church, Calvary Chapel Bustos. And, you know, I get over there and I'm thinking Manila's crazy. That place is crazy, you know, because it's more poverty stricken. It's more just like, you know, it's dirt poor. It's nothing compared to Manila. And so we get there and we go down the little alleyway to the church and it's like, where are we going? You know, and they're going, and then we pull up to the church and all these kids come up. And what they do in the Philippines is out of sign of respect, they take your hand and put it to your forehead. You know, when I'm having these little kids grab my hand in all different directions, I'm like going, what is going on? You know, I'm freaking. And then they do a little presentation you guys saw where they're bent down with the lays and stuff. And it made me cry. I think it made all of us cry because it was from their heart, you know. And that's the thing about the Philippines is they love the Lord 100% with their heart. And, you know, I think that's where we lack, you know, in some places. I'm not saying we don't love the Lord, but it's like, like I said, it's undistracted love. It's hard to, you know, describe. But then the Lord used me over there. You know, my dream, most of you know, is to be a pastor one day. And the Lord used me there. And we taught through the book of Ephesians, which is great how the Holy Spirit works because we came home and Pastor Bill's teaching through the book of Ephesians. And I taught through Ephesians 2, we're saved by grace, you know, and so it was great. And I gave my testimony to these kids, and there was about 30 kids. And I asked them if anybody wants to accept the Lord. And each one of them raised their hand and said, I do. And you know what? That made me cry because God used this tattooed punk, so to speak, to minister to these people that I have no clue who they are, you know. And so what's funny about this shirt is you see these shirts, you know, this wasn't planned by me and Carol. Believe me, I was like going, she's gonna wear the shirt, and then it's totally the Holy Spirit. But, you know, as some of you know, when I was getting my passport, I was going through a lot of spiritual warfare. I think all of us were. And, you know, the day I got my passport in my daily devotionals, this was Isaiah 6:8. You know, and it said, God's call on your life. And so, you know, it just really hit me. When they showed us these shirts, I started to cry again. You know, I did a lot of crying there for some reason. I don't know what it was. But, yeah, I'm crying. But, you know, so it's awesome how the Lord works. And these end times, the Lord, I think, is working more. He's on overtime because he wants to see no one perish, like it says in the Bible, you know. So I just encourage you guys, you know, if you have neighbors, if you have relatives that aren't saved, you know, don't be afraid to share the gospel with them, because what do you have to lose? Nothing. But when you stand in front of God and he says, you know what, I put you in that person's life to share the gospel, why didn't you? What are you going to say to the Lord? You're not going to have an excuse. So I just encourage you guys, share the gospel, get those people saved. I mean, the Holy Spirit gets them saved, but, you know, just work on them. Okay? Thank you, guys.
The whole team was a real blessing, and we watched how God used Justin to minister to the young people over there. He was like a magnet, and they were just right on him. And he took them out into the community, handing out tracts and stuff. And so they had never done this before. This is all new to them. And so he showed them another way to go out and share their faith. We were able to go out into this community, this really poverty-stricken community there, and, you know, we got the guitars and we're singing and we're walking through this community. You know, it's like a funny movie, you know. We're walking through this community singing songs, glory, glory, Lord. And people are all coming out and they're handing out these tracts to the people, you know, about Christ and stuff. And so it was a really awesome experience for all of us. It is life-changing, like Justin said. And I would encourage anybody and everybody to go if they can. You know, because the Bible says that we should go. There's a thing that we use in the church called the Great Commission, you know, to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why does this church go and do those kind of things? Why do we do it? It's because of the Great Commission. If you look in your Bibles, I know you have a Bible, look at Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission that Jesus told his disciples. And it says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen." Again, we call this the Great Commission. Jesus is telling his disciples. It's a personal instruction to them, the 12, and a personal instruction for us, this Great Commission. And it's interesting because it's the first, and it's the last recorded thing that we have of Jesus saying to his disciples. So it must be important. It must be an important thing to the heart of Jesus. And secondly, it's a special call from Jesus to all of his followers to take specific action while on this earth. Jesus has given us this commission, the Great Commission, to go and preach the gospel. It says, "All power has been given to me in heaven and in earth." Or your Bible might say, "All authority." All authority has been given to me, Jesus says, in heaven and in earth. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Now, the right hand, as most of you know, is a place of honor, power, and authority. That is where our Jesus is seated right now, with all power and all authority that has been given to him. After Jesus resurrected and ascended to the Father, having passed through the heavens, he entered into the heavenly temple of God, and there he received the official proclamation of his victory on the cross. "Sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool." The Father, God the Father, said, "Son, sit down at my right hand." That's where our Jesus is right now. And all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. And, you know, it's an incredible, powerful statement, you know. All authority has been given to him. Incredibly powerful statement that demands faith in Jesus Christ. All power, not just a little, not some, not only on Sunday, but all power has been given to our Jesus. And it's the power given to him that as Christians, we can draw upon. We have access to that same power. All authority and power has been given to him, and as believers in Christ, we have access to that power. This verse is very clear. It claims Christ's deity. He is God. He's not a little God with a little g. He's a big God with all creative power, with all authority that has been given to him. And if Christians do not believe this statement, complete faith doesn't exist in our lives. If we don't believe that statement, that all power and authority has been given to him, then something's missing in our Christian walk. Faith, complete faith, does not exist. Jesus is very clear about his authority in the world and in heaven. It's complete, it's total, it's from the beginning of time. All authority has been given to him. Now in verse 19 of our text there, Jesus gives his believers specific directions to follow after they affirm their faith in him. That's us as believers. He gives us specific directions. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls all his followers to act and share the good news of salvation throughout the world. That's specific instructions given to us. Now, people have been hearing this call for hundreds and thousands of years now, have been hearing this call, and they travel each year on missionary journeys, missionary trips throughout the earth, spreading the words of God, of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ. Many Christians have this incredible sacrifice that they have to go through in their lives. Many of them have to sacrifice many things in order to go on a mission trip, you know. And some of them go to jungles, you know, of Africa and starving places on the planet. Some of them go to the Muslim world. Some of them go to the desert places on our planet. And so they are sacrificing to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mission fields can also be right across the street with your neighbor. We can go right across the street. Some of us cannot go to Africa or to the deserts or to, you know, multiple places on our planet, but we can go to our neighbor across the street or next door and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Go therefore, Jesus says, and teach them the things that I've commanded you to teach. It could be our neighbor that needs to hear the good news. It doesn't have to be in some faraway land. In our day, the internet is a marvelous tool for the mission field. Facebook. You can get on there and you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with multitudes. Anybody that will listen. Any one of your friends that are on your Facebook. So the internet has become a wonderful way to share Christ's love to a hurting and dying world. Another important aspect of verse 19 is that Jesus is specifically teaching the doctrine of the Trinity to his followers. It says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to go and teach them and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Clear teaching of the Trinity here in Matthew 28. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Christians are instructed to teach others about Jesus Christ. We're instructed to do that. As a church, we are to teach the entire Bible, not bits and pieces that we like. Well, I like that part, so I want to teach that part. We are instructed to teach the entire Word of God, and that's what we do here at this church. From Genesis to Revelation, we're going through the Bible and dealing with the things in the Scriptures that all of us need to hear. We can't profess Christ as our Savior while rejecting certain parts of His Word. Well, I don't like that, so I don't want to teach on that, or, you know, I don't really believe that, or, well, Jesus didn't really mean that when He said that, or whatever. The entire Word of God we are to teach and not reject certain parts of it. And as we teach Christ's Word, verse 20 declares that we can be confident in faith that Jesus Christ will support us. I will be with you always. That's good news, because sometimes it's difficult to go across the street and tell our neighbors about Christ. It's difficult sometimes to tell someone in Safeway as you're standing in line, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? But the Bible is declaring that I am with you always. He is with us always. And this fact is trustworthy. It's a trustworthy statement that he's making throughout the centuries. You know, millions of believers have heard this, have accepted this, and share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. Thus, the family of God grows and grows and grows. The Bible teaches that Christ has ascended back to heaven, but he is present in power with us right now through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of you that believe. We have the power that raised Christ from the dead to go across the street and preach the gospel of Christ to them. We were able to do that on our mission trip. We were able to go and do all these things. We were tremendously blessed to be able to go and preach the gospel of Christ to the children, to the people in the neighborhoods, to anybody that would listen to us. As Justin was saying, 30 kids raised their hand to receive Christ. That's a miracle. And throughout all that whole mission, people were raising their hands to receive Christ because they're so hungry for the things of God. And we had that privilege to be able to go and do that. And then I had the privilege to baptize some in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think for me that was part of a highlight of the whole mission trip. You know, we get to actually baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So our team for 2 weeks was fulfilling this great commission that Jesus gave the church and all of his churches to go and preach the gospel. Now, what about you that couldn't go? The Bible has something to say about that. Some of you wanted to go. Desperately, you desired to go in this church. You wanted to go, but you couldn't because of work. You couldn't because of finances. You couldn't because of school. And all these things were legitimate reasons why you could not go. Now, some of you prayed. Some of you came to the prayer meetings. Awesome. You can't go, so I'm going to come and pray. Some of you gave towards the mission. I can't go, but I can give towards the mission. Awesome. Some of you came out to support the fundraiser that we had. Awesome. And God used that. He used all those things. The Lord knows your heart, and that's the good news. I can't go, Lord, but I want to go, but I'll pray or I'll give or I'll support in any way I can. But the Bible talks about those of you who could not go. It's very clear. It talks about it in the book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24. Write that down and look it up later. It's a principle that we believe here at Calvary Chapel. It's a principle that we believe. And it says, the share of the man or woman who stays with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All share alike. We believe that here. So every one of you who prayed, who gave, who came out, you all share alike in those 30 salvations, in those 17 salvations to Christ, to all that love that was given to the children and all those things. You share in all of that. You are a part of that. It isn't, oh, wow, those five people, they're awesome. No, we're not. But this church is, because they cared enough to send some out. And you are a part of that. If a missionary is sent out, how can he go, the Bible says, except he is sent? That's your portion. You sent them out. So if we send and support missionaries, staying here by the stuff, so to speak, we're by the supplies, we stay here at home, we share equally in the rewards and the fruit of that missionary's mission, of what they're doing out there. We share in it equally. It's God's law, it's God's ordinance, it's His statue. We share equally in that. Each of you share equally in that. And by staying by the stuff, again, equally, you get the same reward as I get in heaven. Now, I preached to them and said, you want Christ? They raise their hand. But you share in that same reward. You are a part of that. A jewel in your crown. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And when He takes all that and throws it into the fire, this stuff will come back good. Because that's what we're called to do. And that's what we have done as a church. So hallelujah, we all share equally in that. Paul, in the book of Philippians, he wrote about this same thing. He said, you know, I want this to be accounted to your account in heaven. They had given him a gift, a financial gift. And he said, this will be accounted to you in heaven with God. So we share equally. Jesus tells us clearly, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust can corrupt and decay and thieves can break in and steal it all. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where these things cannot happen. They can't come and steal them. Rust won't destroy them. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We share equally in this mission trip. God accounts it to each person who supports the missionaries. The fruit comes to their lives as well, comes to your lives as well. That's why we support missionaries. That's why it's important for us to be careful with who we do support. There's a lot of charlatans out there, amen? You can turn on that TV and you can see them every day. Charlatans who are gathering money and using it on themselves to buy nice cars and nice homes and all these things while they pretend to be sending people out into the mission field. So it's very important that we use the good brain that God has given us to have discernment on which missions we're going to give to. It's very important. Now, there is another reason why we as a church go on mission fields and go out to Africa and go out to India and go out to the Philippines and go out to Japan. Because you know what? Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming real soon. And it's a real bummer that it wasn't yesterday. That would have been cool, yeah? Well, we knew it wasn't going to be yesterday because Jesus said, many false prophets will arise. And He also said, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For there shall arise false prophets, yeah, and there shall be false Christs. There have been many false prophets in our day. Many. Again, you can turn on that television and look at some of those things, and there are false prophets abounding in our day. And no one will know the day or the hour, Jesus says. But we can know when it's near, or the season. I don't know the day or the hour. You don't know the day or the hour, but we can see the signs of the times. Amen? We can see that. And what things do we see? Look in your Bible in Matthew 24. You guys, some of you know this by heart. Some of you know it so good that you're going, here we go with another message. But I just want to tell you that Jesus said, watch out that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Watch out that no one deceives you, Jesus said. Politically, we're being deceived daily. Those guys are saying those guys are bad. They're lying about them, and they're lying about them. And altogether, they're a bunch of liars. Physically, we're being deceived. If you buy our exercise machine, you will be like you were 18. Remember when you were 18? Yeah, you buy our exercise machine, and you will be just like you were 18 years old. Or if you get our special super-duper Ramadan pill, it'll make you thin and trim and make you... We're being deceived all the day long. But that's not all. If you send in right now, we'll double your order. So we're being deceived. But Jesus is talking about don't be spiritually deceived. Do not be spiritually deceived like these folks have been for the last couple of years now, believing in this false prophet. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ. But don't believe them, Jesus said. Reverend Sung Yong Moon thinks he's Jesus. He's the Messiah. Jim Jones, he thought he was the Messiah. Marshall Applewhite, he thought he was the Messiah. David Koresh. We have many, and it's numerous. If you get Google it, man, you just spend all night long seeing all these false Christs. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Do we hear of wars and rumors of wars right now? Yeah. Did you know we might go to war with Libya? Syria. We might go to war with Syria. That's a rumor of a war. We're hearing of these things. We've been hearing of these things. And nation will rise against nation. We see that in Libya. They're civil war. We see that in Egypt, civil war. We see that going on in Syria right now. You can go home and turn on your television and you can see it right in your living room. Wars and rumors of wars. And there will be famines. Well, we've always had famines in Africa. There's always a famine there going on. People are dying. It's a horrible thing. But now they're saying that there's going to be this great famine in North Korea because they don't have enough to feed these people. Franklin Graham has been over there the last month trying to bring some aid and some help to these people. But they're projecting that there's going to be millions who will starve to death in North Korea. We have famines in our lands on this planet. There will be famines. And then earthquakes in diverse places or various places. Last week, we had 210 earthquakes that were 5-point magnitude last week. It's probably different this week. Coming. We'll have lots of earthquakes. We've always had earthquakes. We've had 17 earthquakes in Hawaii last week. And praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, that they were little ones. Imagine a 5-point one right outside, or maybe a 9-point. It would be devastating to these islands. Thank the Lord that they're not. This year we've had the 7-point magnitude earthquakes. We've had them in the Loyalty Islands off the coast of Australia, Vanuatu, Chile. We've had these 7-point magnitude earthquakes. So these things are happening. And then, of course, we had the 9-point in Japan. All these things, Jesus said, are just the beginning of the birth pains. Now, none of these events would be a specific sign of the coming of the end of the age or the coming of Jesus, but all of them together is a huge sign for the church. We cannot be deceived by these false prophets that say, oh, Jesus is coming yesterday. Because the Bible says Jesus is coming. It is for sure. He will come. We don't know the day or the hour. It might be this week. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh, the Bible says. So we can't get discouraged at these false prophets and go, well, maybe, you know, Jesus is... No, it's the evil and perverse servant that says his Lord is not coming. I don't want to be in that category. Jesus is coming soon. Might be this week. And that would be awesome. But no one knows the day or the hour. So we have had these wars, these famines, these earthquakes, and so on. And so all these things together point, and many other things, point to a sign that we are living in the last days. Let me say amen to that. We are living in the last days. Now, all this is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is not talking about the rapture. The rapture, we know, comes 7 years before the second coming of Christ. When is the rapture? Right now, let's go. I don't have nothing I got to do. You got something you got to do? I'd rather be doing it in heaven, in a glorified body, because this one's rickety and messed up. Any day, Lord. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come soon. The question tonight is your house in order? Are you ready for the rapture? Well, you know, I got a couple of things I want to finish first. And, you know, I'd like to get married and have children. And, you know, I want to do all this stuff. And I want to buy that new car. And I'm really looking at that house. And, you know, after that, then we can have the rapture. Wrong heart. Is your heart ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come and say, let's go? Yeah. Yes, Lord. Come quickly. Is your house in order? Is your heart right before the Lord now? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much of the things that you're doing in these last days. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are working in the hearts of the people in this church. Thank you, God, for each one of them that were able to pray and to send and to give and to support the missions that this church has all over the planet. And Lord, again, we pray and ask you, Lord, to continue that good work in this church. Lord Jesus, if our hearts aren't ready, help us to make them ready now. Help us, Lord, to look to you and to trust in you and to anticipate that this might be the very time that we need to wake up and be ready for the rapture of the church. Thank you, God. Pray a blessing over your people, Lord. Bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.